Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The sermon text and gospel lesson for this Sunday is written for us in St. Mark chapter 12, beginning at the 41st verse. Jesus sat down opposite the offering box and was watching how the crowd put money into it. Many rich people put in large amounts. One poor widow came and put in two small bronze coins worth less than a penny. He called his disciples together and said to them, "Amen, I tell you, this poor widow put into the offering box, more into the offering box than all the others, for they all gave out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house to hear your holy word and to be guided in our faith. Therefore, we pray that you would sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Lutheran theologians call them the attributes of God, the three big omni words that we learn in confirmation: omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Those three great omni words give us great comfort, okay? That God is all powerful, omnipotent, that he can do anything that he wants, is part of the reason that we pray to him. Why would we pray to a God that couldn't really help us? So his almightiness, his omnipotence is a great comfort to us. God is omnipresent. That is, he's present everywhere. No matter what we may be going through in our life, God is right there. I don't know how many times I've comforted the kids at night when they're scared, right? Don't worry, you're not alone. Jesus is right here with you. What a comfort it is to know that God is with us. And then omniscience, that God knows everything. He knows all of the future, all of the past. He knows everything. Well, that's the comforting side of those attributes. But the other side of the coin is that God's almighty. That means when he says he can punish or is going to punish, he really can. He's the almighty. The same one that created with his powerful word can crush with his powerful word. The God who is present everywhere, yes, he's with us wherever we go. That means he's in the back seat of the car on Friday night. He's in our bedroom late at night when everyone else has gone to sleep. He's with us wherever we go. And then he's all-knowing, omniscient. That means he knows everything inside and out about us. We can fool the world with our outward display of piety, but God knows what's going on here. He knows everything. And so those great attributes of God have both comfort and warning attached to them. So does the activity of Jesus in our text. We're told on the Tuesday of Holy Week, he decided to sit down near the offering boxes at the temple. There were possibly 13 of those offering boxes. People would bring their offerings and place them in there, or the temple tax as well. Every year, the Israelites had to pay a temple tax. Jesus sat down and watched. Jesus is watching. What a great comfort that is. The Lord who neither slumbers or sleeps is watching over you. But take warning, because the Lord is watching over you. Now, Jesus in our text was specifically watching the people bringing their offerings to give at the temple. And we notice that there were many rich going and giving lots. It seems that in the Greek language there, they may have even been coming up to the box and making a show of giving bag after bag. But then there's also the widow. Probably no one noticed her, but Jesus. She went and put those two bronze coins or copper coins in, less than a penny. Jesus was watching. Now, we probably consider our offerings as something very personal and private. Thought of watching them, the thought that someone is watching them, maybe that's a little unnerving to you. We sneak our offering in there, trying to make sure that no one else knows what we give. And maybe that's fair for fellow Christians living with one another, that our offerings are personal. But someone is watching. Jesus is watching. Now, maybe your first response to that thought is, well, should Jesus really be watching? Surely he has better things to do than to be watching over what I'm doing with my wealth and how I'm giving back to the Lord. And maybe if you'd asked the disciples on that day when Jesus chose to sit down in the temple, Lord, don't we have better things to do than to be sitting here? Maybe knowing what Jesus was about to do just a few days later, you would think that he had better things to do. Lord, shouldn't you be watching for a place to celebrate your Passover? Shouldn't you be mentally and spiritually getting ready to face your great adversary and go through that trial and suffering on the cross? Surely there are better things for you to be doing than to be watching people giving money to you. By the way, they were giving it to Jesus, the Lord, at the temple. But Jesus took this time to teach his disciples. To teach his disciples that Jesus does watch our wealth. Jesus is watching your wealth and how you use it. So those rich bringing in those big bags of gold, outwardly it seemed like they were doing a great godly work. And yet Jesus could see through it. Using that omniscience, he could see that they were just giving from their surplus. They were taking the frosting, some of the frosting, and giving it to the Lord, knowing that they could go home, eat the cake, and whatever frosting was left on it. Their gifts of gold weren't a sacrifice in any way. And yet, they probably got the praise of the people. They probably even felt good about how much money they were giving to the Lord. But Jesus could see through it. Then that widow coming up, who probably no one noticed, as I said, Jesus saw straight through it. Those two copper coins seemed so insignificant. And yet Jesus could see the great value that was attached to it. Because she gave of her necessity. She gave everything she had. Those two copper coins were the smallest payment that an Israelite could offer to satisfy the temple tax. She gave it, knowing it was all she had. But she gave it in faith, trusting that God would take care of her. What inhibits your giving? What stops you from being really generous in the way that you return thanks to the Lord? Okay. I know for me personally, fear is one of those things. Now, I can dress it up. I can say, well, I got to make sure I provide for my family. I got to make sure I'm planning for retirement. I got to make sure I've got reserves in case there's a disaster. But I don't know what the future holds. Is that me simply acting in fear about the future? God doesn't want us to base our giving on fear, but on faith. Jesus commended this woman. I dare you to try to find an example in the Gospels where Jesus commended anyone that didn't act purely on faith. But Jesus at times did commend people because they acted on faith. The centurion, I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel. So this woman too was being commended for her faith. She wasn't worried about the future. Not because there wouldn't be hardship and trouble in it, but because she knew in whose hands the future rested. It was those very hands holding her future that caused her hands to reach out and put everything in the box. Now that woman didn't know the hands that held her as well as you do. Because on the Friday after this woman put those mites, those two coins in, the hands that held her future would be spread out and nailed to the cross. And there those hands would hold the Savior so that he could suffer and die for her sins and for the sins of the whole world. Those hands were pierced to forgive the very hands that held on to copper coins, that preferred to have coins than Christ, or silver than the Savior. Those very hands were pierced for you too. Those hands that paid for your sins are still the hands that hold you today. And hands that were pierced so that you could be forgiven are certainly hands that love you. It's God's love connected with his omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. That's what makes those attributes a great comfort. Those almighty, all-knowing, ever-present hands love you. And God has promised that he's going to use the power of those hands to protect you. And he knows what's coming. God knows that he can fulfill the promises he has made to you. God knows that he's going to carry you in those hands until you finally see them with your own eyes in heaven. So is fear holding you back from being generous in how you return thanks to the Lord? See, you can see that this isn't really about your relationship with me, your pastor, or with peace. This is about your relationship with God. Do you trust His hands? Do you trust that He loves you? That He will shield you with these hands? That those hands will be with you through thick and thin till you're finally in heaven? If you trust those hands, you then can be like the widow and reach out and sacrificially give of what the Lord has already given to you. Does Jesus really watch my wealth? I think it's pretty evident He does. The wealth He has given you is a chance for you to demonstrate the faith that you have in Him because of the great love that He has demonstrated to you. May God bless you. May His Spirit fill you with His love so that your offerings in every area of your life will be part of the sacrifice that you make for the one who sacrificed everything for you. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.